My name is Deanna Thompson, and I live in St. Paul, Minnesota. I've been living with stage 4 cancer for 5 years, and most people who have what I have are dead in 5 years, and I'm still here, and overall I'm doing very well. It's my third remission that I'm in right now, but it is a constant part of my life and the life of my family, and I still have regular oncology appointments, I still have regular treatments, I still have scans, and so it's a daily presence in our lives, and not nearly as awful a presence as it was when I was first diagnosed and through some of the other pieces. But I feel like, given the fact that I talk about God for a living, I feel like I need to bring together that part of my life and the experience of living with cancer. And I spend a lot of time talking with people about those issues and writing about those issues, and I find that there's a kind of hunger to have conversations about faith in the light of cancer and other serious illnesses, and serious illnesses in light of faith. And so I don't have all the answers, but I try to facilitate conversations about those things. I think there's a hunger for people to have real and deep conversations about cancer, but also just about the suffering that we go through in life. I don't feel like we have enough spaces in our culture to really dig deeply into those experiences. We have often pat answers or pat responses, and often we don't know what to do when we ask somebody how they're doing and they don't say, fine, thanks, how are you? And so I feel like opening up spaces where people can talk with each other about what's most awful in their lives is something we need more of. And so I go to cancer support groups, I talk with chaplains, I go to churches, I talk with nurses groups and doctor groups, and try to help people think out loud about how we can better talk about these issues and how we can also better support each other in the toughest times. I think we shy away from those conversations a lot of times because we don't know what to say. We worry that maybe we shouldn't bring it up because the person doesn't want to talk about it or doesn't want to think about it. We're afraid we're going to say the wrong thing. For those of us living with cancer or going through other awful things, a lot of times we don't have words to describe what's going on. And so those conversations are difficult. There's anger, there's tears, there's awkward silence, and those make us uncomfortable. So what I try to do is open up space where the stakes maybe aren't quite so high and have conversations about what does it mean to talk to people who are dealing with awful things, and kind of encourage people to take the risk of asking how people are, and also people who are going through awful things to take the risk to let people know where they're at, even if it's really hard. You know, I think sometimes to have somebody say, I'm sorry, I just don't know what to say, rather than saying nothing, is a good thing. What I tell people is, if you know that someone has just lost their father or someone has been dealing with whatever it is, then likely there's some level of it being public. And if it's public, risk to ask about it. It's way better than not asking, because people know, other people know, and it's harder, I think, when people don't acknowledge it and pretend that everything's fine. The big question of how are you was really intimidating and hard. Also, what was helpful is when people would ask me how I was doing and then they would sit down. you know, that they would expect that the answer wasn't two words, that they knew that this would be something that would take a little bit of time. So it isn't necessarily for me exactly what people are saying, but it's also how, right, or whether they acknowledge what you're going through. Yeah, when I talk to people about my illness, I'm not interested in spending all the time on my illness. I'm interested in talking about how my own experiences of suffering and dealing with awful things in my life has helped me think more about how hard it is to talk about the things that are hard in our lives. So definitely issues of race, definitely issues of interfaith tension or conflict and conversation. These things are also really hard. And I think it's hard to be vulnerable. It's hard to try something out when you're not sure if that's the right thing. And my experience with sort of being on the receiving end of a lot of comments, conversations that people are trying to figure out what to say, I really appreciate the honest attempts at making a connection. And one of the things that I also have realized is I think that sometimes we're really hard on each other for not getting it right. It's not that people don't say stupid things, they do. And it's not that that can be hurtful, because it is. But I know that I've also been that person who's said something that's missing the mark. I mean, one time someone told me that I was an inspiration to them, and it was a bad day for me. And I said, you know, I was glad I could be an inspiration to him, but I certainly wasn't an inspiration to myself. In fact, I found myself to be quite a downer, and I didn't see anything inspiring about having cancer. And so the person, you know, hasn't gotten back in contact with me. And that was a bad day response. And so I try to ask for forgiveness where possible, learn from those, and try again, and hope that even on bad days, the response might be more measured. I really do believe that most people, most of the time, aren't intentionally trying to be hurtful. And when I keep that in mind, that's helpful, rather than just thinking about how it felt or sounded to me, but rather to say, you know, if I didn't have stage 4 cancer, I'm not sure I would know what to say to me either. To live like you're dying. How do you live like you're dying? Or how do you live while you're dying? Which is what all of us are doing. But those of us with stage 4 cancer are doing it in a different way. Definitely there's good days and there's bad days. And so not every day is a good day. Most days in remission are good days. So that's a gift. But I would say one of the things that helps me keep going is the community of support that surrounds me. My family, friends, our church community, our networks of friends and family. I have a Caring Bridge website, and that has become an incredible community of support for me. And I feel very, very uplifted by the people who love and care for us. And on many, many awful days and bad times, we all feel like that community of support has really been carrying us, the prayers of people in our lives. And so that's a huge gift, and that is a huge reason why I feel like I'm doing as well as I'm doing. And I have become more aware of how we in our society think if we have the right diet and we have the right exercise, that we think that that allows us to be in control. And I've been shown very clearly that that is not the case. The practice of yoga has also become really significant in my life. And shortly after I was diagnosed, people would often tell me that I should do yoga, which made me really mad. Because I felt like they were saying, like, you just need to, like, calm down and, like, breathe and, like, you'll be fine. And I thought, you have no clue what I'm dealing with if you think this is, like, what I need to do. And then I started practicing yoga. And what I didn't realize is the relationship of the breathing to the physical kind of health body benefits that you get. And for me, that breathing has become a really important part of my yoga practice, but also my life. Peace is a huge word. I think for me, I think about it on two levels. I think about it personally, and for me, understanding peace, living with stage 4 cancer, is trying to practice radical acceptance of what is, without giving up. So I don't think it means to admit that my life is almost over and just not make any plans for the future, but it's also to realize that I'm not in control and to come to terms with that. At the same time, I think peace for me is a very corporate, communal concept. I've become very aware of how much we are interdependent and related to one another. Over the past 5 years, become much more aware of that. And incredibly grateful and humbled by the way in which we are interdependent. And I think in our society we stress independence so much. And so we think of peace maybe as primarily a personal kind of thing. But for me, as a theologian, as a Christian, as somebody who's held up by lots and lots and lots of people, peace is also a communal thing. And the relationships that I have with other people are integral to any experiences of peace that I may have. They're always interconnected with other people. So I think about it as an individual thing and as a corporate thing. And I'm very cognizant of when I hear that very few other people do as well as I'm doing with this illness. My first reaction isn't, yay me. My first reaction is, what can we do to make sure that there's more people doing well? So for me, that interconnectedness is integral to how I think about peace. I mean, when I think about peace, I think it's a super deep concept, right? It's not just absence of conflict or something like that, right? And I think that the getting to a place of peace or being in a relationship that is a peaceful relationship, you have to go really deep. And I think that we are unsure of how to do that, and because it's so complicated, and because we all have insecurities, we all have places that we are grieving, we all have suffering, and many of us just don't feel adequately equipped, or we're too afraid, we don't feel like we have the time or the energy to get into those kind of deep issues. But without doing that, without getting to the heart of where we all live, peace is not possible. So when we stay on a surface level, that's not getting anyone any closer to a kind of peaceful existence. To sit with people who are grieving, to ask someone how they're doing and sit down, that takes more time often than we feel like we have. And so I think that our current pace of society discourages us. I feel like we like to wear how busy we are as a badge of honor. And that leads us to live on this superficial level. One of the things that I've become very aware of is that in the worst times in my life, I've experienced the most grace, the most love, the most beauty. And when I say that, I need to be careful and explain what that means, because I don't mean, therefore, cancer was a gift and it's just made me more appreciative of everything around me. Cancer is awful and it's not a gift to me. But in the worst of times, I've also experienced the most beauty and the most peace and the most grace. And for me, I have to hold those two things together and not deny either one. And that's the place that I want to stand, is trying not to deny either side its place. And yeah, the issue of time for me, many people will say things like, why are you still working? Why aren't you traveling the world? Why aren't you? And I think one of the things is that when you have all the normality of your life completely stripped away, sometimes all you want to do is just do the most basic things. Just make a meal for your family. Just take a walk in the neighborhood. Just be able to walk into a classroom and teach a class when you've been robbed of all those things. There's such a craving just for the normal when all of that is stripped away. And so for me, I feel like what I'm supposed to be doing right now is trying to live my normal life as fully as I can. And if when I hear, well, you likely have a year or less or something, that likely will cause a reevaluation of how I should be spending my time. But it's been important for me to be as normal a mom for my kids as I could be, and as normal a wife as I could be, as normal a professor as I could be, after having lost all of that. It's been really great to come back and get to be that. I try to just embody this day and live in this space as well as I can. Not sure about what's coming after that. Yeah, my notion of peace comes from who I am. I'm an American growing up in the late 20th into the 21st century with Christian worldview, a notion of what peace is from my religion, notion of peace, what peace is in terms of the national scene, and how elusive peace is. I've become much more appreciative of the sort of dimension of peace that's on the interpersonal level. And we can think and talk about the national and international contexts, and we can participate in those as citizens. But it's just as important to think about what that means on the personal and interpersonal level. And so to be a part of neighborhoods where peaceful relationships are being fostered, and to be participating in school systems where racial diversity is being dealt with in a way that promotes positive interrelationships. The way I think about that is the inbreaking of God's future into today. And it is so interesting to me that the worst times, and we can see this in many disasters and many kinds of things that happen, the worst times do tend to bring out the best in us. And again, it's not to say, like, let's just seek out more worst times so that we can be better. But there is a kind of, you know, the best in us, which I would say is given by God, comes forth when there's harm and there's hurt and there's sorrow. And so when I think about peace, I think about it in the here and now, but I also think about the future that I trust will be a part of what comes next, and how that, I feel like I've seen glimpses of that in the last 5 years in a way that I wouldn't have been able to think about or talk about before I had cancer. I think when we go through awful things in our life, it often is, it can lead to disconnect, it can lead to breaking relationships, it can lead to feelings of alienation, that we're alone. Maybe you feel like people aren't there for you in the worst times because it's just too hard. And I would say that if you're in that situation of feeling like the world is abandoning you in your time of need. That a lot of people, there are people around who want to help, but they don't know how. And so I would encourage, if you feel alone, to reach out and let people know that you're feeling alone or that you need some more help or support. And my sense is that in many, many cases, people will come and offer that support.